All right, you are tuned to the Express Yourself Show. Stay with me here. Tierra Band with Bridget Law coming up next. Here's what they sound like.
Thank you.
that is music to my ears, going beyond pop music and beyond that. That is Tierra Band with Bridget Law. Bridget Law is known in these parts for being a founding member and fiddler for Elephant Revival. Bridget has stepped away from that band for personal and family reasons, but she has continued her music making with her husband, Tierra Lee. The formerly the guitarist for Canal and Otis Taylor and the producer of the Arise Festival. They call their new project the Tierra Band with Bridget Law, and they bring their band to the Belly Up for a show next Tuesday. And I had a chance to speak with Bridget earlier this week.
I'm in Canada this week for Thanksgiving break with my husband and his son. We're visiting their family, his parents. So, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
We're going to hop over the border and spend Thanksgiving Day in Buffalo with my grandparents, and they don't celebrate American Thanksgiving in Canada.
Oh, I know. Their Thanksgiving is on October or something like that.
It's true. Yeah. Totally.
That's just like, Unlucky Friday in South America is Unlucky Monday. Friday, Friday the 13th is actually Monday the 13th. But anyway.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that one.
Maybe you need to write a song about that.
Yeah. People are just making up their unlucky days wherever they want.
Well, we're talking because you are bringing your new project to the Valley next week, Tuesday to be exact, at the Belly Up in Aspen. It's the Tierra Band with Bridget Law. I think maybe some of our listeners or a lot of them might not know that you're no longer a part of Elephant Revival.
Yeah, it's pretty new news. I've only been off of the road 2 months now, and I just actually was just with them in California last weekend, so it probably is a bit confusing from the outside looking in, but essentially I've just chosen to change my life, start a new chapter in a more home-based way and nurture my family and my own body and kind of learn what it's like to not be traveling so relentlessly anymore, and this project that I have with my husband is a really fun musical explorative project that sounds really great, and I'm really excited to share it with people, and I'm glad that they've invited us to play the Belly Up so that we can come share it with the Aspen and Carbondale community.
Well, it's definitely a departure from the music of Elephant Revival. I would call it trance jam. Is that a fair description of what you're doing now?
Sure. I think that it could fit in that category. Sometimes I describe it as Arabian dance music because my husband writes these, which I should just call Tierra. I'm going to start calling him Tierra. I did marry him, but still, he has a wonderful name. So Tierra writes these compositions with the Arabian scale, and they sound really neat and exotic. And then we put dance beats behind them, so it's great music to trance out to. It's great music to jam over, and it's really wonderful for dancing. It just it really brings it home, and you can kind of like meditate within your body, like meditative dance is what the music asks you to do.
Interesting. Now, how do Arabian scales differ from Western scales?
Well, they're a variety of minor scale. So, basically like the minor scale has different forms. There's like a natural minor scale, there's a melodic minor scale, and a harmonic minor scale. And the Arabian scale uses the harmonic minor scale, and then there's a version of the harmonic minor scale that is called the Hijaz scale, which goes one step further in that kind of harmonic minor quality. So what you're hearing in the harmonic minor quality is this like half step after the fifth tone, so on the sixth tone of the scale at the half step, and then a whole step and a half between the sixth tone and the seventh tone. So there's a lot of half steps basically, which kind of create that it's a world music. A lot of world styles use them, a lot of Arabian or Middle Eastern scales, Eastern European, that's gypsy music. Gypsy music of and how it's traveled around the country, or the world, uses those scales a lot.
And your instrument, the violin, which you played in Elephant Revival, just shines in this kind of musical context. I mean, I would call the violin the quintessential Middle Eastern instrument.
It's really a lovely genre for my instrument, and myself too, and my soul, and the way that I like to express my musicality, because because of the half-step quality and the fretless instrument, you can really do a lot of really nice sliding, you know, with it. And then the bow is just really like singy, sing-song, you know, it just has this, it's a gorgeous quality, and it works really, really nice in the music, and I love it because it's a very sensual sounding music, and as I like to play as if I'm dancing with the violin, and so yeah, I really love these songs and I love playing this music, and then it works so nicely because Piero, I love him, and he plays the electric guitar, and so he's kind of, you know, it's nice because he's written these songs on guitar, but then to translate the melodies over to the violin and then to kind of pass them back and forth between the guitar and violin, or do like call and response with the two instruments, you know, you really get this interactive melodic quality to it that is really beautiful. And then on top of it, our love for each other shines through this interaction, and people comment on that part of it all the time. Like, we've had people say, oh, I felt the masculine and feminine energy unite in my spine while you were playing, and we're like, wow. That's pretty funny. You know, but I think for us, we really like the idea of the dance between the masculine and feminine, and really holding each other up and supporting each other so that we can shine, and I think that comes through in the music quite beautifully.
Well, there aren't too many band instrumentations that use a violin as pairing it with a guitar as a lead instrument, so that's a little different. But you mentioned earlier that you're setting beats behind this, but you're not doing that electronically. You've got a crackerjack rhythm section. Talk about the two players.
Yeah, that's so true. We really do. They are so amazing. Johnny Gimo is the drummer, and I often describe him as being like two drummers in one, because he really decks his kit out with like some extra percussion instruments, and he'll move back and forth between them. Like, you know, he'll play the bongos with the sticks, and then, you know, switch back and forth. So it's the timbres that he gets out of, you know, the drums are just outrageous. They're all over the place, and it really, you know, allows the music to take on different personalities through these different textures and whatnot. So he's amazing, and he's, you know, he's a gigging musician around Colorado. He plays with Intuit. He also plays with Gimo Club, which is his own project where he's written all the music. And he's, you know, he's been hired and plays with everybody that he can, and he's just a real killer player. Same goes for Charlie Parker Mertens, who's our bassist. And he, and he just got off tour. He was guest appearing with Thievery Corporation for a couple of weeks, and he's outstanding. And what I love about Charlie's style on the bass in particular is that he spent a lot of time in India, and he really loves Hindu music, especially in East Indian music. And he is able to bring that love and that musicality in on a regular old electric bass, but when he takes a solo, he totally goes there, and it's so cool. It's just so different than you usually hear a bass player interpreting melodies, and he just does such a great job. So yeah, they're monster players, and they've been so kind and have really been dedicated to this music for some time. They, you know, Tierra was playing with those gentlemen before I even came along, and then since I've come along, we've spent a lot of time really nurturing the music, even though we've had a lot of opportunities to play out, mostly because I've been on the road with Elephant, or Tierra's been busy producing Arise or whatever, just time. We've still taken a lot of time to rehearse and to arrange the music, and we're preparing to make a record this winter, but we've like been preparing to make a record for a couple of years now, so we keep refining the music more and more and more, and what it's turned into is basically a really smoking live show.
Well, I watched several videos of you guys playing, including one on your Facebook page, the longest one, the 11-minute one, where Charlie does that long, long, long bass solo that's just jaw-dropping.
Yeah. And that quality of the music, when we extend it out jam-wise, we'll probably be doing that at the Belly Up, too, because, you know, we're the only band that night, so we'll be playing for at least a couple of hours. And that was the same as the 16-minute version of of Zaire that's on the internet was also at the Caribou Room, where we played for a long time. So you'll get to see some of that really brilliant improvisation, you know, by all of us. We all take the opportunity to really kind of trance out and go there and play really amazing, you know, just follow the melodies and create spontaneously within the music. We'll that's so fun for us. So we look forward to that opportunity to do that at the Belly Up.
Well, and I was also struck by a lot of those guitar solos that Tiero does. Sometimes they sound Arabian. Sometimes there's a flamenco tinge to it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it sounds like smooth fusion jazz. It's all over the map, isn't it?
Yes, he's got a lot of blues in his background, too. He used to play with Otis Taylor and travel around with Otis Taylor. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, he's got a lot of different influences, and I find his guitar style to be super unique. And he too, it's that same, that trance quality. You know, sometimes I'll be like, wow, honey, those are really long guitar solos. You know, and that's like my interpretation because I'm on stage. And then we get off stage and people are literally like, you know, falling at his feet and like so, you know, they've been so enchanted by his guitar solos. They were right there with him the whole time. And, you know, I just find that super beautiful. I can tell that the people were really going there with him on those journeys, and it's super neat.
Well, one of Tiero's gigs before Otis was in Canal. I'll bet a lot of people around here will remember him in Canal. And it struck me that the music that I remember Canal playing is antecedent to what you're doing here. Very similar.
Yeah, we've been, I mean, it's natural because Tiero wrote most of the harmonic, you know, or the music behind the singer's voice in Canal. So it's natural that our music would sound very similar to Canal. We have definitely had people, and especially when we get really vibey and tribal and into it, into the music, we've had really serious Canal fans thank us for inviting that energy back in and tell us that we've sound a lot like Canal. And there's people who, you know, and I know that they were really enjoyed at Carbondale Mountain Fair in particular and in that area. I look forward to, hopefully those people get wind of this and the people who were at those early shows come out and go there with us, because I think it's a really special, interesting, you know, niche of music that they were following the path of, and we've picked up, you know, the leftover pieces and are kind of trying to, well, not really trying to, very naturally inviting that energy back in. I think it would be great. I hope the Canal fans come out. Come on out. You'll be happy.
Well, I have very pleasant memories of Canal at Burning Man in 2004. And as you say, real similar music. And they were way out at the end of the Esplanade. And they played for 8 or 10 hours in a row, you know. And it was full moon and over Burning Man and Canal playing. And I'm just thinking, you know, it doesn't get any better. There's that multi-genre aspect of what you're doing, I think, fits these times. I think people are hungering for something different, a different sound, and I think that's why I was struck by these videos of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I think that we, you know, both Tiero and I have been around a lot of music and have played with a variety of different musicians and all sorts of different styles, and I think that we really feel at home in this music because it is unique, and it is kind of connecting to a place, you know, where it's like, and I find Elephant Revival to be in a similar space with that, where it's like, it's familiar music in a sense that it feels like your soul has heard it before.
Huh.
But it's unfamiliar in a sense that it hasn't been, it's not being done everywhere, or it's not something you hear all the time. You know, do you know what I mean? It's like,
yes.
It's like it's music of the dream world, you know, but not as much of the reality that we live in. And so I love that about, you know, this project and especially where I'm at in life right now. It is the dream world for me. I mean, I'm living my dreams playing up there with my love and I love the way that the music really showcases how I can play. I don't really feel like what we're doing is different and unique. I kind of know that because I've been around and I've seen what people are doing. And I do think that what we have to offer is just enough different and different enough as well that it's very intriguing.
Well, and it's not pretentiously unique either. It seems like it's organically unique, if I may say.
It's attainable music for sure. And it's very natural to us. You know, we played a show in Beaver Creek a couple weeks ago to a full house, which was amazing, at the Villar Center. And everybody had a really good time. And we did that alongside We Dreamed On. So it was a bit of a reunion for Sage and I as well. But, you know, people loved it. And we got such a good response from everyone. And we kind of had this feeling like, you know, we're hardly trying. Like, this is really natural for us. And people are really digging it. Like, we got to do this more, you know. And then pretty soon after that, we got this opportunity to play this last minute show at the Belly Up. So we're excited to go back to the mountains and share the music some more.
Well, I would urge you not to try too hard.
Right.
Because you're going to change
it. There's something really nice about it just coming out of you.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. No singing, though. It's all instrumentals.
I do sing some.
Do you?
I sing a bit, I sing a bit. And I even sing an old Canal song, actually. And maybe I should look into doing even one more. I have two songs that I sing with this group. One actually is The Musement. It's an old The Musement song.
Oh, sure.
Which you probably remember. And then the other one is a Canal song. So it's, you know, it's not a big part of the set, but it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be more to come.
Oh, I was going to ask. So tell me a little bit about what you have in mind for the new record.
Well, I think for the most part, for the new record, it'll be something that, you know, Tierra's been seeking to make for a long time. There's a lot of really great compositions here that he's been really just nurturing along to get them to the perfect place to record them and share them with folks. So I think for the most part, it'll be an instrumental record. We might squeak a vocal tune in if we, maybe one or two or three. He's holding three fingers up. I would like to get to writing those, and I have a lot of original tunes that really just probably just need to be adapted a bit to fit the style, and him and I collaborate really effortlessly, so that would just be something we need to sit down for a weekend and kind of work on and get that out there. But again, like I said, my life has just recently changed, and so there'll be a lot more time for that kind of creativity coming up here. So I'm looking forward to it.
Do you have a home studio that you're recording in?
We do. We just built a home studio in our home in Longmont. We'll probably do a lot of the bigger tracking, maybe at Wind Over the Earth or one of the local studios. And then we'll do most of our overdubs at home. We have it. It's kind of built specifically to record violin and guitar.
Okay.
So we'll do that.
Well, Bridget, I want to thank you for spending a few minutes with us here on KDNK, and best of luck to you, and we'll see you pretty soon here.
Thank you. I love KDNK and your communities up there. I'm really excited to share a night with you all. I hope you can make it out. It's Tuesday, November 28th, and I think it's a free show before 10 p.m., so come early.
And I hope that we'll hear you again pretty soon after that. It sounds like there's a few things in the works that might bring you back. Yay!
Yeah, definitely. I have my own Facebook page now that's a music fan page. So anybody who's enjoyed my contributions to Elephant Revival and beyond can find me there, and I'll announce all of the different projects that I'm a part of and different things that I'm working on, because there is quite a bit. And my goal, having gotten off the road now, is to really nurture my love for music and what I've learned from being on the road into my own local community, which includes the mountains, for sure. Uh-huh. And then there's, of course, a Facebook page for Tierra with Bridget Law as well, where you can look at those videos that you were mentioning. So yeah. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bridget, and thanks to Tierra, too.